Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We invite you to listen and grow.
Hosts Paul and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership, and lifestyle.
Skilling your softly to a success for you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
We are up and running and wap, 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 boom. Yes, you were here with myself, Paul Rees. I am here all alone. Well, I'm not quite alone. I have someone amazing the other end of the screen for me, that's for sure. But I'm here this week with you all 52 minutes from now and counting down. No, we count up, not count down. Let's not count down because that means there's an end to this. We don't do ends, we do starts. Starts and continuations. That's all life is. A start and a continuation and a continuation and a continuation. I could keep going and keep going. Absolutely. And that has been the theme to my week. Continuation and darn it. I feel so good. You know, yes, here's the thing. I'm absolutely loved by my wife this week. Why? Because I hung the telly on the wall yesterday. She has waited for weeks, months. Paul, when are we going to get a telly on the wall? I'm like, why does it need to be on the wall for us to watch it? I cannot get my head around these new substitutes for looking at the telly more in life. Because here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of the telly. I'm going to say it. I'll put it out there. I'm not a big fan. Because it draws too much out to me. It really does. You know, I enjoy watching things that I kind of learn from. But here's the thing. When I went through my burnout all those years ago, I found that I couldn't watch a program with any conflict on, because it was actually wiping me back out. Now, here's a thought, listeners. How much of that telly is actually drawing from you? There always has to be a trade-off in life, but that trade-off should always be to your benefit. And I get confused with this. But remember, a trade-off doesn't mean that you're always taking. A trade-off means that you give in order to experience. Now, I'm going to share that. And I've said this many times, you know, why am I married to my wife, Deborah? Because it's my job to make Deb love Deb. I've said it. It's my job to make Deb love Deb, which means that wasn't written into my marriage vow. Sadly, that wasn't even there. It's like, why? Why wouldn't you put in a marriage vow? Do you, Paul Rees, promise to make Deborah love Deborah every day? I think they missed something there. It's like, what? You didn't say that in our marriage vow. Why would you not? You say till death do us part in sickness and in health. I mean, that's a given. But the bit that I thought was missed was that. Isn't it crazy? And today, in this show today, we're going to touch on these philosophies. We're going to touch on the importance of understanding your layering as a husband, as a wife. Also, you know, we think about bereavement. There is nothing that we learn in school, college, university, or any kind of executive studies that says, oh, we're going to go on a course today to study bereavement. It's not there. It's not there, but yet it's one of the most profound, emotional, layering landmarks that you will experience in your life. And, you know, let's not make this a negative either. Let's understand, you know, bereavement is a huge emotion of self-reflection. A huge emotion of self-reflection. How do I know this? Well, do you know what? I haven't really lost anybody in my life that has tested me in that way yet. Although my Deb has lost her mom and dad. You know, so she really understands the layering of that. But I'm going to take this to another level today, because the guest that we have on today for you, actually, I'm not even sure if we are zooming from her country of origin. We're going to find that out as we come in now. But here we are, the beautiful, the amazing, the guru in relationship, dating, and bereavement, emotional experience in life is the wonderful Shirley J. Whitehead. There is the J. Whitehead is where we are. Shirley, come in, love, and thank you so much.
Oh, Paul, this is so good. It's really great to be with you. And thank you for the introduction.
Oh.
And I'm going to let you know that my home is now London. The accent belies that because I have been born in South Africa. That's where my cells resonate with the earth.
Yeah.
Although London for me is very much home, and I'm incredibly happy to live in the UK.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. I'm in London on Wednesday, and I don't know, I go into London, do my bit, and I like to leave. Just it's too, I think it's too emotionally challenging for me. My Deb, when I met Deb, she was a Cockney. So she, for her, London is like home. But for me, it's not quite, but it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place of opportunity and love and all those wonderful things. And we think about that love and all those wonderful things. Now, your expertise is relationship, dating, and bereavement, which is crazy because we got the both ends of the spectrum here. When you think of dating, it's excitement. You think of bereavement, it's like learn. It's flatline for many. And then let's put in between that the word relationship, dating, relationship, and bereavement. Just kind of put it in that way if we can, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, what led you to be an expert in three of the most fundamental, emotionally challenging yet fulfilling experiences in our life as human beings?
Okay, great question. And I'm going to clarify by saying that relationships, love, and endings all fit together like puzzle pieces.
Wow.
So my very difficult early years growing up in a really crazy family probably became that foundation from which I wanted to change things. I never wanted to take forward in life what I'd experienced. So let's look at that relationship part. I got married really young. My husband was 10 years older. 21 years into that marriage, was at 13 years seriously thinking of separating, which we didn't. 21 years into that, he passed away. He had kidney cancer, which he'd kind of gone through 4 years of that whole process of dying from diagnosis. And my three babies, my three children who are grown up now, are from that first marriage. That was the bereavement part. And discovering myself as a young mum, as a wife, as a corporate wife, moving countries, that kind of all that stuff that happens when you're doing life. And then the ending part was, who am I without you? Who am I as a single mother? Although I'd spent many years almost being a single mother because my late husband traveled many months of the year, 8 months of the year, he was not there.
Wow.
I was really very much involved in a business in advertising. And I'd understood again another difficult relationship. A couple of years later, I remarried. And I thought this was it. I'd known this person for over 30 years. We grew up together as friends. And it was a 7-year relationship of, I mean, I use the expression of pushing water uphill because I guess we discovered we had different values. That's why I now am the queen of go slow when I teach relationships, when I teach dating. And I have some very defined processes in place that help people to qualify, are they with the right person? And there definitely is a way to qualify. And there are essential ingredients that we must have in the foundation of relationships if we want that to go, you know, to have legs that goes into the future.
Do you know, let me come in there, Shirley, because, you know, when we think about relationship, and I admire what you said there, you know, first of all, you said, you know, your childhood, the family, the structures, was, you would put the word crazy there, which tells me a lot about your why your first and second marriage.
Definitely.
Because what we forget is we do marry our moms and dads first time round in some shape of emotional form. And we see in there on the second cycle, and you'll know these anyway, but I just want to share it with our audience, is that there was a cycle in the second marriage also. I know I married my first wife purely because of my lack of worth in myself and her lack of worth in herself, and our insecurities took us down the aisle, basically the first time round. When I think of who I'm married to now and Deborah, we've been almost 20 years. And I would say wholeheartedly that she is very much my center point of my life and someone that I thrive on making love her every day. I knew Deb 2 weeks before we moved in together. That 2 years though was a learning 2 years. There was turbulence in the first year, settled the second year. The fifth year is when our marriage really knitted. But we always knew there was a huge, I'm going to say soul connection. And I don't want to say that lightly because so many people say they've met their soulmates, but actually they've met a feel sorry for commonality, is what we say. Because lots of people get into relationship because they feel sorry for each other, or one can be the carer and one can be the one cared for, which effectively is a repeat of their childhood somewhere. We could say, and I'm unfolding these here because I know all these things are very much common knowledge to you. But sharing with our audience here is that, guys, ladies, gents, relationship dating is an art, is an emotional art of recognizing yourself before putting the recognition into or putting what I feel is the responsibility of who you are out to somebody else. Because when I met Deb, I knew I was marrying into the first 30 years of her life. And I had to respect what that 30 years was, not complain about it. Do you feel so many people there, Shirley, just complain about the past of the person they're with rather than see the makeup of what's made them so beautiful from their past?
Yes, and here's why. Most people are working very unconsciously in their relationships and experiencing challenges and struggle. And I'm going to echo what you've just said, possibly in one sentence, maybe two. A relationship is a mirror to us. When you said a mirror, often of our caretakers, being, those parents or people who took care of us in the early years, because we will marry, and this concept is called imago, Imago,
Why?
which literally is the Greek word for mirror image. Our partner will often represent the worst and some of the really good aspects of our caretakers. And what we tend to do is to criticize, undermine, become defensive, shut down, and possibly become contemptuous when our needs are not met and when these deep longings are unfulfilled in a relationship, instead of these four key ingredients that are so necessary. One is the ability to emotionally moderate ourselves, to emotionally regulate. It's essential that we learn to emotionally regulate ourselves. Number two is the ability to self-reflect. Here's a word you just recently used, to take responsibility. And here's the fourth thing, and I've mentioned this in other podcasts and interviews before, and I mention it again because it's so important to understand that we need to work on ourselves and our relationship. Like between you and I, Paul, there is the space between, the space that we put stuff into, the relational space. If we're going to put criticism and gossip and defensiveness, we're going to create toxicity in our space, even if we're speaking about someone else. But if we're going to put in here knowledge and appreciation and gratitude and everything that uplifts, as you said, you are here to help Deb to love Deb. And great relationships don't just happen, they are made. People will so often say it didn't work because they're the wrong partner and they're this and they're that and they're whatever. Well, some of that might be true. However, we chose them. And there are aspects of that person that were wonderful to begin with. And then you put two people together working unconsciously, recreating a lot of what they've experienced in the past,
yeah,
or a lot of what they don't want in their lives, instead of asking the question, how can I do this differently?
Do you think, you know, Shelley, there's a lot of people that are loyal to relationship disappointment.
Yes.
And they will replay that loyalty to relationship disappointment because basically, as you say there, it's a mirror of their past, which would be a disappointment they experienced through their childhood, you know, whether it's mom, dad, you know, how that played out and then how they played out in a far more mature level in our own life, then we create relationship disappointment, but effectively is our go-to place because we experienced that in our childhood. And even though when you measure it as an adult, you could say, wow, that is just crazy that, you know, we keep going to that place. But in an unconscious, even conscious level, we could say it's actually the happiest place because even though it was a turbulent relationship with mom and dad, they were the happiest days because it's all I can remember. So I'm replaying those happy days, but actually they're not happy because I'm creating turbulent relationships because I'm loyal to relationship disappointment. Do you think there's a lot of people out there doing that?
Because they don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
We will go on to recreate, marry into, or choose specific partners. Now, I'm going to use an example of, and it's a real life one, not mine, but all of my processes before I work with someone starts with a discovery call, whether they come into one of my groups or I work with them individually. And I had one of these calls on Thursday last week with such a highly beautiful and intelligent woman, well-educated in the work that she does in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling me about this nearly 20-year marriage she's had to this man who has consistently lied, cheated, been dismissed from high-profile governmental positions because of his behavior. And she's filed for divorce, and she's in this state of deep uncertainty
mm-hmm.
as to whether she's doing the right thing. And we went there because I know for her to have been in this relationship for so long, there's something about how she grew up seeing love,
yeah,
her own self-worth, and boundaries or lack of boundaries that is allowed for being in a space like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, I would love to work with her. We've agreed. I work on, you know, certain packages to start with. And we're starting, I think it's tomorrow or Thursday. I can't remember what's in my diary. Because my first thing is, how did she grow up seeing love? And she's definitely going to move forward with her process of divorce. Because as I said to her, I am not qualified to say what, because I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm telling you right now, in my nearly 18 years of experience, your husband has a personality disorder. No one does this and has this kind of behavior unless there's some kind of disorder. And it's quite extreme. And I am qualified to say that, given the work that I've done. But what it is, she said, well, the solicitor I have chosen specializes in narcissism. I said, well, there you go. I said, you proceed with what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and let's get your life on steroids. And let's create something amazing together because I'm going to have your back. I'm going to hold your hand through the process so you can discover who you are.
It's so beautiful to hear the way that you work with your clients and things. It's wonderful and so reassuring to know that you, and we're going to talk about your product a little later on.
Mm.
But do you think that, you know, when we feel the word love, you know, it is such an overused, misshaped, overshaped, undershaped word that for much of the time, and I'm going to put this out there and say possibly 90% of the time, most human beings will not experience the true essence of love in their life.
Yes. Love, first of all, is a verb. In relationships, love is not enough. Love is a behavior.
Wow.
What some people see as love is not love. For me, love means that your needs and your feelings are as important as my own. Love means I'm here to celebrate you, whether you be my little dog who sits behind us, or maybe she's moved to the floor, or whether you be my love, as in my partner or my child, whether you be my client, I'm here to celebrate you and help you to celebrate yourself. And as you said, you know, you're here to help Deb, and Deb, love Deb every day, even more, which is a really beautiful way to see love, because what love often becomes is a demeaning and critical and demanding, or where somebody shuts themselves down. We either maximize our energy or we minimize our energy in a relationship and in conflict.
Wow.
And if we are on our back foot minimizing because we fear love leaving us, here's the thing that I very often, always see in the foundation of everyone, including myself. We fear abandonment, rejection. We're not enough. And criticism. So all of these things are in that foundation.
Yeah.
And are we operating out of fear, or are we operating firstly out of self-love and
yeah.
then truly love for the other, where we're not going to be defensive and criticizing? And of course, all relationships experience conflict, because conflict is growth trying to happen in a relationship.
Yeah.
I can't remember who said this, but if we see conflict as dangerous, no one is safe. We've got to get over this idea that conflict is dangerous and it's the other person's fault.
Yeah.
It's the relationship trying to grow. And when we can truly hear and see one another from our heart space, not this whole, I can't wait to speak next, and you know, if you just listen to me and give me a space, it's from truly hearing what is it that they're trying to say underneath? What is it that they need?
Yeah.
This is where we can resolve so much conflict. And that's my work that I do with couples.
I love that. I love that, Shirley. And here's what we're going to do, listeners. We're going to dive into our first idea. When we come back, Shirley's going to call out all her contact details so we can get a hold of her. You know where to find her and all these beautiful things. So we're going to be back in about 90 seconds. Happy days. I'll see you on the other side.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, yes, you and myself, Paul Rees, UK Health Radio. Yes, UK, and it's all about health today. It's all about emotional health. That's where we are with this lovely lady, Shirley J. Whitehead, man. This is the lady that you want in your life when it comes to your relationship, your everything, sort of relationship data. And of course, we don't want to put these words down there because it is an experience, which is bereavement. Shirley, what are your contact details, love?
Okay. If you go to my website, which is Shelley J. Whitehead, and it's Shelley with an EY.com, there's a contact page. You can always get me through that. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on all social media platforms. You can message me. I handle my own Instagram messaging. I also have a fabulous team behind me. So if I'm unavailable, somebody will get back to you immediately.
Happy days. Thank you, girl. And listeners, we're going to share out Shirley's details before the end of the show. But now we want to go into, you know, the delicacy of emotions. And what I mean by that is, like, if we think of, let's touch on bereavement, because here's the thing. It is one of the most natural experiences that a human being can experience in life, which is bereavement. And we could say loss or celebration, depending on how you look on these things. You know, we can celebrate the passing or we can grieve the passing of an individual. And I suppose that would depend on how early someone passed to how outlived someone passed in their life also. Mm. But when we think of bereavement, you know, I often wonder myself, well, why did the universe put something in us that could manage the commonality of bereavement? And I put the word commonality there because it is. Everybody in the human being world is going to go through a shape of bereavement in their life.
Mm. Oh, it's such a profound thing that happens to us that we're generally so unprepared for. And I work with bereavement in two life areas.
Okay.
Because the grief process that ensues is the same, although one takes a lot longer. And I allow for it. Not that I allow. I mean, it comes like, you know, who am I? But I hold it very gently for a lot longer period of time than I do the other.
Oh, so let me clarify. Yeah.
I work with all forms of loss. Anything that was dear to you, that mm-hmm. you have loved for however long, and then it ends, is a huge loss. And so many people find the grief overwhelming and don't know how to cope. So if someone dies, that process is, you know, I'll often work with people for 2 years. Through the year of all the firsts, mm-hmm. you know, the birthdays, the anniversaries, special occasions, into the second year that becomes a lot more creative because they're discovering who they are wow. without the significant other in their life. And the meaning, which is the sixth stage of grief, because they're five, according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you know, the initial shock, denial, and then the bargaining and anger and depression and the acceptance. And it doesn't necessarily go in that line. I mean, mm-hmm. denial, shock initially, yes, for everyone. And the sixth stage is meaning. Wow. So the person is discovering the world and navigating this new world without this significant other. Then,
can we say, Shirley, that, mm-hmm. you know, grief is fed by guilt. Guilt because I'm still here. Guilt because I wasn't. Okay. Guilt because I should have done more. Guilt because I wish we'd done more in our life together. Do you feel that grief is fed by guilt?
That's the part I would call bargaining. The if onlys.
Oh, and, wow. You know,
yeah, the if only, if only we had done that, if only I had said this, if only I hadn't, I wish I had, I wish we could have. If only I'd made that last phone call, if only I hadn't said what I, if only I wish I had said, that's the bargaining stage of grief.
It's like a design, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. like we are designed to experience an emotion from grief that insists we reflect at that given point in our life of the if buts, or the celebration, of the I wished I was, I wish I did. You know, it's like that is the feeder of grief, which is the celebration of, effectively, the celebration of what I didn't.
To the degree, of what I did. To the degree that we have loved, we will also grieve. Where there is grief, there has been love. Love doesn't die. I'd love to just, if I may, share a little story.
Mm-hmm.
We have this beautiful little four-year-old in our life, Jacob. And I was putting him to bed. He was sleeping over. And not my baby, it's my grandson, my daughter's baby. And baby, four-year-old, he's still a baby. And I said to him, Jacob, it's time to go to sleep. He was trying to convince me his energy was still too big and he didn't need to. And I said to him, I love you. Good night. He looked at me. He said, what if we don't have enough love in our heart? And I said to him, Jacob, you know, darling, it's not possible. I teach him big words. I said, because our heart's capacity, our heart is big. It can never stop loving. And he looked at me and he said, and what happens if we die? Which is a big question for a four-year-old. The wise little chap. And I said to him, well, we know Daisy died. Daisy was my little dog we said goodbye to in February last year. And I said, we still love Daisy. He knows about Grandpa Simon, which is my late husband. And I said, you know, Grandpa Simon also died, and we still love him. So I said, our heart can never stop loving. It's always there. And the same with grief. Even though this significant one is no longer with us, love is still there. It's our getting used to not being in physical contact with this one. And that's when we hold on to the possessions and the memories, and as precious as they are, because it's all we have left. I want to touch on the other part of grief that I work with. Paul, this is when a relationship ends and people find themselves in a grieving state. I married again after my husband had passed away, and there I was in this relationship, and 7 years later, it ended. And, you know, I speak about in my book, here I am in my garden pruning away a rose bush, you know, in the dead of winter, which is not the right time to prune a rose bush. And it hit me. I was in this cycle of grief. And the same grief process I was working through in my life, but it was a much quicker process because the relationship was dead, but my ability to love and to find love again had not ended. And that's where I help so many people to transcend, transform, and get that beautiful meaning of why they chose this person in their lives, the meaning they take, the learnings they take from that relationship. Because we take everything that we've been through into a new relationship. We just want to make sure we've got the learnings and we have the meaning, and it's transformed into us taking responsibility for the choices of how we showed up, what we should and shouldn't have done. And there's a part, you know, where we do a relationship inventory of the ex, ourselves, our childhood. I don't leave those stones unturned. And even from bereavement, there is so much that we learn about ourselves and what we experience with this one who's no longer with us.
Because would it be fair to say that, you know, my wife is a life strategist, and she works all over the world every day. And would it be fair to say that, you know, some people need to stay in the grief because that's what they feel they have to be in order to keep honoring the memory of that person, which effectively creates a paused life for that person. You know, why is that? Why do we feel that we have to stay in the grief in order to feel, you know, that we are doing the right thing to the memory of that person? Because for me, memory is about taking that person with you in life, not stopping your life to remain paused to the person that's not you. You know, why do people do that?
People go back over generations, mourning, especially when it came to women. You know, they would be dressed in black forevermore.
Wow.
And she would be this widow forevermore. There's also, you know, disenfranchised grief. And I won't go there, but to answer your question, because we don't know how to do it any differently, because we feel that's the only way we can honor someone. Someone hasn't shown us another way. And there are some great loves where an individual who's lost this love never wants another love in their life. They are done because for them that was complete. And we need to honor that, that they're really okay with that. It depends on how they are showing up to life.
Okay.
But if they are a shell of themselves, stuck in a cocoon, and I use the word stuck, really unhappy, they may not know how to do it differently. It's an unconscious behavior that they're carrying with them, because we don't know what we don't know, do we?
I mean, you know, I'd say bereavement is an extreme emotion, because it is that end of line memory and no more can be created. Why have we, it's, you know, we have inherited a negative to bereavement rather than a positive, which is celebrating the life of that person. Now, there are cultures that do celebrate the life of the person, don't go into the loss. They go into the memory of what they can take forward. You know, I'm going to guesstimate that more people grieve the loss than what they do of the celebration.
I would agree with you completely. And it
Do you think there'll be a shift in that ever?
depends on the level of pain that people go through initially.
Mm.
There are some people who say you can really transcend that within hours.
Okay.
Personally, I believe that there's a time for joy and a time for mourning, and even biblically, it is
Yeah.
given to us, that there's a time for everything to honor that process, just like the seasons. We don't say to winter, "Excuse me, where are your leaves? This doesn't suit me," because it's winter, and then autumn gives us the splendor of the colors. We know what's coming, where we are now. Okay, the daffodils are blooming, but the leaves are still bare on the trees, and we've had a lot of rain and gray. There is a time for all of this. The big thing is to not get stuck, because we are also limited in the years that we have on this planet. We want to make them count. We also want to be here to make that difference to people around us. So for anyone listening who feels that they're really stuck in this deep pain after a long period of time, find someone who can help you to get perspective, because perspective,
Oh, wow.
perception is a very beautiful thing. And by changing our perspective, we can literally watch the world transform around us.
Wow. I love that because the word perspective is an underused word.
Yeah.
And also a misunderstood word. I believe the quality of the word perspective has been diluted because it's not a word that's used very often in everyday vocabulary. But what you said there makes so much sense, Shirley, that understanding the perspective. But again, there's not a huge amount of the population that would truly understand what that word means either on its most valued emotional understanding.
It's difficult to even see, because when we're stuck in pain, emotional pain, grief,
Yeah.
we're in what we call tunnel vision. We aren't able to open up that aperture, as even just looking at you. If anyone is looking straight ahead, just open up your peripheral vision. And that's really what perspective does. Because as
Wow.
I'm looking at you, Paul, I see this cupboard to the left of
Yeah.
me, and the wall and this image to the right of me. And perspective opens up our world to other possibilities.
I
And
love
that's,
that.
yeah, that's such a.
I love how you use the simplicity or the trueness of what perspective is in order to expand your client's, possibilities out of hurt into life again. It is. It's absolutely beautiful. And we're going to do this, listeners. We're going to dive into our second commercial year. And when we come back then, we're going to dive back in with Shirley J. Whitehead here, who is the guru of relationship dating and bereavement. And we're going to just really look into what this business looks like, what the shape of this looks like, and all these beautiful things. So we'll be back in about 90 seconds or so, I'm sure. It really depends on how good I am with my timing. Happy days.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, yes, and of course, you're with myself, Paul Rees, on UK Health Radio. If you're just joining us, where have you been? Man, you've missed something. You're going to have to go right back to the beginning of this and start listening all over again and keep going back to folks. There are so many golden nuggets here, for sure. It's been such an amazing, and we are diving back in, of course, with our lovely Shirley J. Whitehead, who is relationship dating and bereavement guru or expert. It depends how you want to put it, do you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, she knows it all. That's for sure. And we all want a Shirley J. Whitehead in our pocket. We really do. We should be getting one. And you know, Shelley, it has been, it's been fantastic, love. But let's jump back in because I want to mention, which is your book called Healing Your Heartbreak, 28 Days to Transformation. Where
Thank
can we
you.
Get that, girl?
It is on Amazon, and excuse me, as we are probably speaking, the team is working to get the audio files up onto ACX, which is Audible, so it should be there within a couple of days.
Wow.
So we have it on all formats because I really, really, really have a vision to help at least 20 million people heal their broken hearts,
oh,
win a
well
relationship.
Done, Let me get it out there again. So the book is called Healing Your Heartbreak, 20 Days of Transformation by the beautiful, lovely Shirley J. Whitehead. And Shirley, while we're at it, throw out your contact details, girl. How can we get hold of you?
Okay, go to, you know, head over to my website, shirleyjwhitehead.com. You'll find me on Instagram, you know, all the social media platforms. There's a contact form. You can always get hold of me. If I'm unavailable, just briefly, my team will get back. So we'll always respond.
Happy days. And here's the thing, listeners, all Shirley's details will be at the bottom of the show anyway, so do reach out to her, is where we are. And now let's come into the business, because we spoke about, you know, your philosophies and all these beautiful things. But here's the thing, if I'm coming to you, and I'm coming to you because, let's say, I'm suffering with bereavement, what is your process? How long will I work with you for? What does that look like?
I work with packages of six sessions, and you know, the initial stages of any ending are very difficult. Bereavement, as people are working through that and rebuilding their lives and discovering who they are without their significant other, is a beautiful two-year process.
Wow.
So in the beginning, I'm with you very closely, you know, holding you by the hand and leading you forward.
Yeah.
And within 6 months, you know, people are doing so, so well. When a relationship ends, the first 6 weeks are the most difficult. And the following 6 weeks is a huge transition again.
Yeah.
And within 3 months, most of my clients are back out there dating, looking for their ideal partner because they have learned so much about themselves. It's never about ex-bashing. Remember, we made a decision to be with this person. Even if terrible things have happened, we really look at how... you know, with this new knowledge base and new awareness, we choose differently next time, and also how we qualify. I would love to share with the listeners a very valuable little formula. It's called my four S's, and we can apply this to any circumstance in life where, you know, there's this curved ball, this big challenge and obstacle. The first S is take some space, stop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then we need to create a new structure, a new daily structure very often. The third S is support. Get the support in the form of your front row friends, a professional. Reach out, use it. And the fourth S is the sunshine. It's metaphorical. The little bit of something that is morally and ethically legal that lifts our state. My one client who's going through bereavement sent me a message. He said, Shirley, what can I do? I sent him a little list of things. I said, including dancing. He said, I was miserable. I put the music on this morning. He said, I started to dance, and just that changed his state. So there are some magical little things. Write down that list of the seven things you can do that become your daily sunshine.
Wow.
What question am I going to answer? What did you ask of me? How long it takes.
Well, girl, you're in there. No, let me come back in. I was
yes.
going to leave you hanging there. I thought, no, do that. Because your thing is that, you know, bereavement is different for everybody, as you said. And I think, Shirley, you know, some people will have 2 or 3 days and somewhat be functioning or be back to norm. But as I say, other people are very different in effectively, you know, how they deal with bereavement. And the same, you know, I remember when I separated from my first marriage, it wasn't about losing my wife, it was actually about losing my children. You know, that was the big thing for me, is that suddenly my children, I couldn't put them to bed any longer and things like that, you know. And do you think that has enhanced, you know, do you think that is a big issue when it comes to, you know, relationship and the separation is basically the children in the middle of that?
Definitely. Really, really is a huge thing because this person we were so in connection with when we had these children or created these children, we are now, it's a different relationship that we're navigating. We're co-parenting one, two, three, maybe more little hearts that can so often get caught in the crossfire and they're used as pawns to manipulate certain situations.
That must be hard for you, girl, if you're caught in the middle of those kinds of things.
Yeah, I work with couples and we facilitate connection to create a new way moving forward. In connection, where the heart is not judging, where we can, I create that safe space so we can really navigate that, the three of us together. We become what I call the liberation team,
Oh, wow.
from negative ways of operating. And yeah, that really is very special.
That is beautiful. So effectively, your services are a one-to-one or a one-to-two, which are very personal. I love that about yourself. It's a very personal service. And I think what you deliver to the emotional economy of the world is vital. Because I do believe as human beings, we've lost the understanding of what of the importance of grieving. We've lost the understanding of true, I'm going to say, true commonality in relationship. We are in an industrial world of dating now. Dating isn't as organic as what it used to be. It's a swipe left or swipe right for match.
It is. It does lead to also beautiful connections. So many of my clients meet online. They meet also organically. They could be in the queue in IKEA. There could be introductions. And of course, certain activities that we do, we're also open to the possibility of meeting someone wonderful, if you're in a hiking club or book club or cooking course. We have lost the essence of connection and what it truly means. And none of us has been to relationship school. The world of relationships has changed. This generation, women are, the whole construct has changed. People are independent, they're able to make different decisions. Our past does show up in the present and in our choices and in conflict. We need to learn to become comfortable with conflict and how to repair and reconnect when there is conflict.
Listen, I'm sorry, but we are running out of time here, girl. And I wanted to come in when on that high, which was, I love that. We need to know how to repair from conflict and
Yes, we
have
do.
each other with that.
Yeah,
It
we
is
do.
very beautiful. Shirley J. Whitehead, I have loved this show. It's been absolutely beautiful. Here she is, the relationship, dating, and bereavement expert, Shirley J. Whitehead. You'll find her on all the social medias. All her details be given out with the show. Shirley, thank you so much, girl.
Thank you so much, Paul, and thank you to the listeners as well. May you all be blessed.
Happy days, and there we are. There's the final words from the Lady of Heaven. And I'll catch you this time next week, listeners. Have an amazing week. Love where you are, but above all, love the relationship you're in. See you, and bye for now, and boom!
Emotions are your friends.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.